putting an end to this. Good afternoon. State Affairs is unrecessing, resuming at 3:15 Saturday, March 21. We have been blessed by the presence of Representative Vance, Representative Greyer, Representative Story, Representative Shaw, Representative Fields. No roll call today because we're going to move. So we adopted a CS, version S, to House Bill 190 last meeting. So that is now the working document for the committee, and where we left things off were amendments to be offered to this committee substitute. So we have four amendments in total that have been submitted, amendment number one and two from Representative Story, and amendments three and four from Representative Vance. We'll take them in that order. Representative Story, a motion for amendment number one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move amendment number one.
I will object for purposes of discussion. Representative Story, could you describe amendment number one?
Yes, thank you. Amendment number one would allow absences for purposes of PFD eligibility for those serving in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which I will refer to as NOAA, and the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps. The state currently allows absences for purposes of PFD eligibility for many people who serve our nation in the uniformed services. The uniformed services of the United States consist of the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and recently the Space Force, and the NOAA Commissioned Officer and the U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps. Members of the uniformed services are all treated similarly in pay, benefits, and rank, are eligible for Veteran Affairs, VA benefits, can be members of the Military Officers Association of America, and can enroll in higher learning institutions using the GI Bill. So they are all very similar in those ways, except members of the NOAA Commission Corps and the U.S. Public Health Services Commission Corps are not treated the same for purposes of PFD eligibility. The last two are not eligible. This discrepancy in eligibility was brought to my attention by a constituent who serves in the NOAA Commission Corps. When she applied for her PFD, she was denied because she had exceeded the allowable absence period while serving on a NOAA vessel out of the state. Upon appeal, she was informed by the division that while they were sympathetic to her cause, statute only allows absences for members of the armed forces. My amendment would include adding these uniformed service members serving our country and these two groups to be eligible for the PFD if their absence was due to their service. So my staff member, Greg Smith, has been working on this too, if there's any questions that you might have. And when you look at the amendment, you will see that it is added to on page 3, line 28. It would be following number 18. It would add that.
Thank you. Welcome questions on that. Representative Story, do you have any sense how many additional individuals would qualify for the PFD if we adopted amendment number one?
Thank you. Do we have
she's not on yet.
On today.
Yeah.
I believe we did have those, just the, what we knew, what they were across the United States. When we talked to, is it Director Weske? She thought it would be a handful in the first one, in the NOAA one, and possibly more in the second, but she was not able to get us those numbers.
And another question I have, what's an example of somebody who would be out of state for U.S. Public Health Service Commission Corps? How would their service in the Commission Corps take them away from Alaska?
I would have to, could I do an at ease and look that up? Excuse me, Chair. I can imagine if you're serving in a public health situation that you are out of the country, probably doing maybe some pandemic some help. I mean, really, they would be all hands on deck right now. So I'm sorry I don't have a specific example for that. Maybe Representative Shaw knows.
Representative Shaw.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I can help with that, the Public Health Service Corps, they are pretty much in line with the U.S. military as far as the transfer of service, because occasionally they may transfer to a place of need. They may transfer to another duty station. So just like the U.S. military, they may have that transfer. It could be every couple of years or per epidemic taking place.
Follow-up?
Yeah, Representative
Shaw. I do know that they are higher ranked than those in the armed forces, and they are saluted by the armed forces.
But Representative Shaw, I'm sure, is yet another level higher. Okay. I think it's worth putting on the record. I spoke with a sponsor of 190, and he is supportive, or at least not opposed, to Amendment Number 1. Are there other questions from the committee about Amendment Number 1? Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. what do they do in the Public Health Corps? And I assume the NOAA Corps is doing weather studies and oceanic studies on boats out of the state. But what exactly does the Public Health Corps do? Because I've never heard of it before. I guess that's a question for either of you.
Yeah. Could my staff come forward, please?
Thank you, Chair Chris Tompkins and members of the State Affairs Committee. From a document that we had,
put yourself on the record.
Greg Smith, staff to Representative Andy Story. From a document I have, the Public Health Service's mission is to deliver public health and disease prevention expertise at home and abroad, as well as to disaster areas and areas affected by U.S. military operations. Its top officer is the Surgeon General. That.
And I can add some comments. My mom is in the U.S. Health Commission Corps. So it used to be that Indian Health Service was closely integrated with Commission Corps. I know it's changed a lot since she entered service, but it's effectively doctors and healthcare professionals. But I don't, despite my mother being in this thing, I don't have a great sense, because I know it has changed a lot. I grew up having a DOD ID card as a result of this. Representative Fields.
Well, I guess I would just say anecdotally, Mr. Chairman, that I have acquaintances who are also in the Corps. They continue to work closely and actually are co-located with ANTHC in Anchorage and their uniformed service.
So I am going to remove my objection, mostly, in deference to the sponsor of HB 190. Is there any further objection to adoption of Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, Amendment Number 1 is adopted. It takes us to Amendment Number 2. Representative Story.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Amendment Number 2.
I will object.
This amendment would delete parent, spouse, sibling, child, or stepchild and insert a person instead before the words allowing someone spending time out of state and who is providing care for a person with a critical life-threatening illness whose treatment plan, as recommended by the attending physician, requires travel outside the state for treatment at a medical specialty complex to be eligible for the PFD. I have heard many stories, many of them heart-wrenching, of Alaskans who traveled outside of the state to care for a loved one, a grandparent, a grandchild, a dear friend, a fiance, or a significant other, but they were denied their PFD because they did not meet the strict family relationship currently required in law, which is those five words that I read. So today many grandparents are raising their grandchildren. Many people are in serious relationships when someone they love is struck down by a life-threatening illness, And my amendment would provide these caregivers allowable absences for purposes of PFD eligibility.
Questions from the committee on amendment number two? Representative Fields.
I guess I've got concerns about the broadness of person, and my concern is kind of unintentionally even creating an industry where people go outside and take care of people, and it's more of a commercial relationship. Is, I guess then my question is there a reason that we couldn't replace person with relative?
Through the chair. Well, relative, if you are a significant other or a fiancé and you're not officially in a relationship, relative is kind of limiting. And we were struggling to look for words when we were talking with legal about what would be best there and came up with a person. I think what is key here to note is the language requires as recommended by the attending physician. So you would have to have the physician's, you know, recommendation. And I know when with PFD, when they are looking at these methods, they require documentation.
Hello.
Representative Fields.
I definitely appreciate and support the intent. My concern remains that personal care attendants, huge category of workers, you know, are we going to have personal care attendants who are technically living in the state of Alaska? They actually live down in Oregon and take care of people down there. It's their job. They have a note from a doctor saying, oh, yeah, this person cares for this person down in Oregon. It's their job. But they retain residency here. Just given the nature of the way Medicaid works and the size of that industry, I'm just really concerned about this being kind of misused in practice, notwithstanding the intent. And I don't know if there's a way to resolve that given the complexity of how do you describe these familial relationships.
I might ask a question of Ms. Nauman is online. If Ms. Nauman, if there's a definition already in law for relative or something that's more inclusive than the current language of parent, spouse, sibling, child, or stepchild, but not as encompassing and inclusive as person. Is the word relative defined anywhere in state law or a similar word?
For the record, this is Emily Nauman with Legislative Legal. I can see. I will say one possible alternative is domestic partner, which is defined elsewhere in statute and is a little bit broader as someone cohabitating generally. It appears that relative is defined seven different places. The first one that popped up, spouse, great-grandparent, grandparent, parent, uncle, aunt, sibling, child, nephew, niece, grandchild, or great-grandchild by the whole or half-blood or by marriage, but does not include a relative who is through a step relationship, stepbrother, etc. Relative doesn't sound to me like it would solve the problem that or issue that Representative Story is attempting to resolve.
Thank you, Ms. Nauman. Representative Fields.
I think I'm going to propose an amendment to the amendment, which had I thought about this earlier, I would have run by the sponsor, but I do want to support her intent and wonder if it might work, instead of saying person, to retain parent, spouse, sibling, child, or stepchild and add, or domestic partner or grandparent. Would that at least partially address the sponsor's interests, but not kind of throw the doors wide open to more commercial relationships?
Through the chair, could I hear from Ms. Nauman about what a domestic partner definition for that would be?
And I would note, and we could add the term fiancé if that would be helpful.
Okay,
yeah.
So let me amend my amendment to the amendment. So I would introduce a conceptual amendment to the amendment number two, striking person, retaining parent, spouse, sibling, child, stepchild, fiancé, domestic partner, or grandparent, and would ask, and then thank you, Ms. Through the chair, to Ms. Nauman for commenting if my words make sense.
Sure. So did you just move an amendment to the amendment?
I did.
I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. This is going to be tricky. So we've got a 4 o'clock start. We've got three more amendments, an amendment to the amendment. I think we should consider this amendment to the amendment. Then I think I want to force action on amendment number two, and then get to amendments three and four and see if we can conclude action by 4 o'clock. But on the amendment to the amendment, the question at hand is domestic partner defined? And I should also note Ms. Weske has joined us. So I think for Ms. Nauman, because this is probably a legal question, is there a definition for domestic partner if we were to add that to the law?
For the record, again, this is Emily with Legislative Legal. There is a definition for a domestic partner appearing in two other places in statute. It is not defined for the purposes of the permanent fund dividend statutes currently. Let's see, it's defined in 2460-990 to mean a person who is cohabitating with another person in a relationship that is like a marriage but is not a legal marriage. And it's defined identically in 3950-200, which is the public officer financial disclosures laws. One comment, I don't know if you add grandparent, if you'd want to add grandchild.
Through the chair, that is one reason why we went to person, because there were so many exceptions or things to be included. And I did want to say one of the heart-breaking or heart-wrenching, grabbing reasons for making this a moment is a person I know who very much was the caregiver to her boyfriend, but they were not living together. They were, she was there supporting that person, and so they wouldn't qualify under domestic partner. It just a person for, they loved each other dearly, but they were not living together. And they took a year. Anyway, I won't go into detail.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Fields.
Could I restate my amendment to the amendment responding to Ms. Nauman's suggestion? And I cannot support the person language. I would be willing to support this broader list to the amendment to the amendment if a Representative Story would prefer to simply vote on her person. I can just vote against it. That's fine. I would kind of, what do you think, through the chair, Representative Story? Would you rather me try to amend yours with a longer list, or would you rather just up and down vote on person?
Through the chair, Representative Fields, so then you would be making a motion after that, or?
Well, so I can withdraw my amendment to the amendment if you wish to simply vote on person. I'll vote against it. Or I could move my amendment to the amendment listing fiancé, domestic partner, grandparent, or grandchild, add it to the existing list, in which case I would be comfortable supporting your underlying amendment. And I guess it's kind of your choice, and I apologize. I didn't think that through this in advance of the meeting.
Through the chair. Since I haven't heard any comments from, and it would have been helpful to hear some comments from other than members of what they were leaning towards doing.
Well, could you withdraw your first amendment to the amendment?
Withdraw my amendment at this time.
Okay, so the amendment to amendment number one to amendment number two has been withdrawn, so we're back to amendment number two. So discussion on amendment number two. I think Representative Story is looking to take the temperature on this amendment. Are there any comments or questions on amendment number two as currently written from other members of the committee?
I tend to have a bleeding heart and understand completely where these stories come from: boyfriend, girlfriend, lifelong friend, taking care of them. Person is too broad for me as well. I want to start erring on the side of either, how do we start limiting PFD eligibility going out? So I'd be a no vote on person as well.
I'll just chime in that I'm of the same mind. Representative Vance.
I'm glad to see that we have agreement on something, and I, not that we don't on more things, but I too feel that the word person is broad, and I don't feel that we should change this part of the statute, because when do we stop? And that's the greater concern is, yes, there are so many people that are helping others through their time of need, and that's who we are as Alaskans. But there's so many areas of exemptions that I would hope that they would be able to fall into and make some kind of arrangement. But we do have to put a stop at some point, and having the priority of what we have now for those providing care, I think, would be sufficient at this time.
And Representative Shaw, you're welcome to also comment if you'd like.
And I'm glad I didn't have to initiate this.
Okay.
But I'm in agreement with the no vote as well.
Okay. So I think we have a sense on amendment number two. I think it's probably really difficult to amend this on the fly because certain definitions aren't already in the PFD section. So I think what I'm going to ask for is that we take the vote on amendment number two. This is another committee referral, and I suspect there'll be ample opportunity to work it through. So that's all right with you, Representative Story. And of course, you can make closing comments, but I would suggest we take the vote on this amendment.
I would withdraw my amendment and let Representative Fields make the amendment or make a new motion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think what Representative Christ Thompson is saying is that it might be unwise to modify the list at this time, given the complexity of definitions in different places in the statute. So I think, maybe it would be best to just withdraw it and do some additional research with Ms. Nauman and figure out if we're going to expand the list of names. Is there a reasonable list that we could arrive at and then potentially address that in finance?
Thank you. Through the chair, I appreciate those comments. Other than I really would have appreciated the moment the amendment happening, or I wish I would have accepted the amendment, because these are really, truly cases out there where people have dedicated their time, a grandparent, a person who cared deeply, and it does allow for the attending physician, and I know of cases, I don't feel there'll be a run on it, so to speak, because these are such unique situations. So
so you're welcome. If you'd like, I'm going to maintain my objection so we can take this to vote, or
I'll withdraw my amendment.
Okay. Amendment number two. Okay. Amendment number two has been withdrawn, although Representative Story, appreciate where the intent and where this is coming from. And there'll be a second bite at this apple in the next committee referral to workshop the language if you so choose. That takes us to amendment number three from Representative Vance. Representative Vance.
I move amendment number three.
I will object for purposes of discussion.
I am adding page 3, line 28, because the individual was prohibited from traveling back to the state by state or federal order in response to a disaster. Due to our unforeseen circumstances of the COVID-19 virus, it's called to my attention that there may be future instances where Alaskans are not able to enter the state because of a mandate by closed borders or the airlines not flying, where people cannot get back home, not by their own doing. And so I thought a provision that allows the division to be able to assess this is an unforeseen circumstance by federal or state mandate, that they do have the allowance to make exemptions only when the mechanism of the mandate is in place, of the federal or state order.
Questions from the committee on amendment number three? I have a question for Director Wesky, which is obviously I think this amendment is sort of timely given the COVID-19 pandemic. Director Wesky, sort of current circumstances notwithstanding, can you think of other situations in recent history, maybe in your time with the PFD division, in which this language in amendment number three could have been applicable for applicants who were denied but would have been eligible had this language been in law?
Thank you. For the record, this is Ann Wesky, Permanent Funds Dividend Division Director. Chairman, I am looking right now. This was not the amendment that was emailed to me, and so I'm kind of hearing it for the first time on the phone right now. There was one other circumstance where I think that it could have pertained, which would be during the 9/11 terrorist attacks. There were no planes flying. That wasn't due to a health concern, though. That was obviously due to something different. But we did not waive any kind of rules at that time. And that's the only other time in history that I can think of where this would have possibly been something that could have been addressed.
Thank you, Director Wesky. That's helpful. Other questions or comments from the committee on amendment number 3? Representative Hopkins.
Sorry, Chairman. This is Director Wesky one more time. Really quickly, there's one suggestion that possibly it could, it might be useful to retroactive it to January 1st of this year.
That smells like an amendment to the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make an amendment to the amendment.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm the one at the 4 o'clock stop. Make an amendment to the amendment to make it retroactive to January 1st, 2020.
Okay. I'm going to object for purposes of discussion. So, Representative Hopkins, what I think I heard you say is you're offering a conceptual amendment number 1 to amendment number 3 that would make the language in amendment number 3 retroactive to what year?
January 1st, 2020.
January 1st, 2020. Okay, I'm going to take a brief at ease. Good, Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Wesky, well, it is a right idea. We're running short on time, so we're going to workshop it for the next committee, and I withdraw my amendment.
Representative Fields.
Ms. Wesky, I'm curious, as you read this language, traveling back to the state by state or federal order in response to a disaster, and what I'm curious about is the word disaster sufficiently detailed enough, or does it need further clarification? A disaster is declared by the governor or the president or something like that. Just curious. I don't have any problem with the concept and just want to make sure we got the language right.
Through the chair, thank you so much for asking that question. Absolutely. I think that it should be clarified who declares the disaster, just because a lot of individuals might consider their personal situation a disaster. But this does need to specifically speak to an official disaster, so that would be something that is declared, in my personal opinion, probably by the President of the United States, because it would be something that possibly could have happened outside of Alaska, hence the fact that they're unable to get back to Alaska.
Okay. I appreciate cleaning up things in the next committee. In this case, I think the language might be simple enough to offer a conceptual amendment. Do you object to that, Mr. Chairman? I would just move that now. Or would you rather clean it up later?
What was that question? Hatties. On the record. Oh, this is fun. Yes. Emily Nauman, we're just about to go to you. Please, okay. Proceed.
Okay. I just have a brief suggestion. Perhaps the issue could be resolved by saying an order issued in response to.
So an amendment to the amendment that would insert after the word order before the word in on line 7 of amendment number 3 issued, just the insertion of one word. Is that right, Ms. Nauman?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to make amendment number 1 to amendment number 3, which on line 7 of amendment number 3 would insert the word issued after the word order. Is there any objection to amendment number 1 to amendment number 3? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment Number 1 to Amendment Number 3 is adopted. I imagine that helps clean things up, although I don't have total confidence this is airtight, but I'm sort of heartened. I think there's sort of broad recognition of where this amendment is coming from, and that I imagine sort of future committees and the House as a whole would probably want to sort of tweak this, and I'm going to trust that the sponsor will help make that happen. So that takes us back to Amendment Number 3 as amended. And I think we've tightened up one thing. Are there other questions about this amendment from the committee or comments?
For the record, I will work with our members on finance to add the language, the retroactive active language, and work with any other language that members feel need to be tightened to make that change in finance.
Okay. I'm going to withdraw my objection to Amendment Number 3 as amended. Is there any further objection to Amendment Number 3? Seeing none, Amendment Number 3 as amended is adopted. That takes us to Amendment Number 4. Representative Vance.
I move Amendment Number 4.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Representative Vance.
And this amendment takes us to page 4, following line 30, and amends, is speaking to section 4 that speaks to the retroactive 5 year, the previous 5 years of qualification, and it allows for the dates of section 4 of this act applies to qualification for a permanent fund dividend paid in 2025 and thereafter. And Section 6 says Section 4 of this Act takes effect January 1st, 2024. So the reason that I brought this forward was some of the concerns that were discussed in committee about individuals who have been receiving dividends, and based upon the 180-day absence, and if the bill were to pass with the 120-day provision, would they suddenly become ineligible? And so I thought it would be reasonable of us to allow a 4-year time frame looking back that they were not breaking the law. They are still required to follow the 120-day provision moving forward, but as the division looks back on their qualifying from the previous 4 years, that they would still be within the scope of the law.
Thank you, Representative Vance, and I think this speaks to committee discussion yesterday and transition. And I ran this by Director Wesky, and I might turn to Director Wesky to ask if effectively Amendment Number 4 resolves some of the questions that arose in committee yesterday. Director Wesky, could you comment?
Mr. Chairman, yes, that is true. I think this effectively solves the concerns that were brought up yesterday. So I'm supportive of that.
Thank you, Director Wesky. Any other questions from the Committee on Amendment Number 4? Seeing none, I'm going to withdraw my objection to Amendment Number 4. Is there any further objection to Amendment Number 4? Seeing and hearing none, Amendment Number 4 is adopted. This takes us back, and that concludes our amendments for House Bill 190. So to summarize, we have amended the CS version S to HB 190 with Amendments Number 1 from Representative Story, Amendment Number 3 from Representative Vance, and Amendment Number 4 from Representative Vance. At this time, I'm going to turn to public testimony on House Bill 190 and open public testimony. I see no one online. Is there anyone in the room testifying House Bill 190? There is no one in the room, so I'm going to close testimony to public testimony on House Bill 190. This takes the bill back before the committee. Are there any comments on the CS to House Bill 190? Seeing none, a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the committee report House Bill 190-31-LS1273/S as amended from committee with attached 0 fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing no objection to the motion to move the CS to House Bill 190 version S from committee as amended, the bill moves from State Affairs. We'll sign the paperwork here, but at this time we are going to adjourn, not recess, but adjourn State Affairs at 3:50 p.m. Saturday, March 20th. 21st.